Teresa, I sold my pod to get you this cast.
I sold my cast to get you this pod.
How ironic. It's Schmanners. Internet, I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's Extraordinary Etiquette.
For Ordinary Occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm, you know, this time of year, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh, that's so true, Teresa. That is so true.
So I'm, you know, chugging along.
And, you know, we're getting near. We've got the Candle Night show coming up this weekend. And then it's all Christmas, Christmas, Christmas for us. We got three Christmases coming. We got the McRoy Christmas.
When you said Christmas, 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 yeah, it's true.
We got McRoy Christmas in Huntington. We've got our home base Christmas with us and the babe. And then doing Wellman Christmas after that. There's a lot, folks. This may be the last of us. We might use it all up. No. We'll, of course,
No.
But, you know, it is, as you said, this time of year. And at this time of year, we've done a lot of holiday episodes in the past, if you are so inclined, I would recommend going back and looking through. But, you know, at this time, there's a lot more kind of scattershot advice that people need. Very specific. That maybe wouldn't cover a whole episode, so we thought we'd do an Ask Schmanners episode and try to cover a little bit more of the nitty-gritty, as they say, of the holidays.
Yeah.
This first one comes from Carson. I absolutely hate telling people what I want for Christmas, even when they ask. Is there a way to give gift ideas as opposed to sounding like Veruca Salt when friends and family want to know what I want?
Let's tell our perspectives on gift giving vis-a-vis our family traditions.
Vis-a-vis synergy, back and forth. So my family does do lists, but the lists are more of like a loose guideline of like, if you can't think of anything else, here's a list. Especially now in like our adulthood. Christmas becomes a lot more, this sounds so crass, but it's super fun. I don't do a good job of selling it. It becomes more of a test of like how well.
It's a competition, really.
Yeah.
Who's going to win Christmas by giving the best gift? Right. Not getting the best gift.
No.
But the winner is the one who gives the best gift.
What
the
you're
one
looking
thing
for.
That the person who receives it would never have thought of for themselves, but absolutely loves and needs.
Correct. Like last year, Justin and Sydney got me a bidet attachment seat for the toilet. Never would have thought about it, but it's perfect, and I love it. You know, that kind of thing. That's what you're aiming for. That's not to say that anyone's ever like disappointed and to say like, oh, you got me something off my list. But, you know, the list is more of like, yeah, I think that works. That's good. You know, we do lists. It's just not, it's not a strict guideline.
Well, see, growing up in my house, everybody made lists. And those are the things that you expected to get. And if you didn't get those things, then you were disappointed. Because my mom was kind of like the behind the scenes orchestrator of all of the Christmas lists. So, I mean, other than herself, she always knew what everyone was getting because she kind of like doled them out.
Yeah.
So that she made sure that everybody got what was on their list. Because that's, you know, that was the way that we did it.
Yeah. And so here's the thing, Carson. I would say that, one, if somebody asks you for a list, you don't sound like Veruca Salt if you say, this is what I want. Like that it's like if somebody says, "What do you want for dinner?" and you say, "Surprise me." And you're like, "Okay, that doesn't help." No, what do you want? And so I think somebody asking, especially if it's somebody who doesn't like the Hunt, quote unquote, like the McElroys do, then really you're doing them a favor. You're doing the right thing by saying, "Here's a list."
And I think that you could also take a different approach and express your interests. Mm-hmm. So in the way of, you don't want to say a list, but maybe you're big into golf now.
Yeah.
And so you say, "Hey, I've been really getting into golf. I'd appreciate maybe some books or accessories or something. That'd be great."
Or even like more general than that. Like me and Justin and Griffin have taken to telling each other like experiences, you know, like classes or spa treatments or anything like that.
Stuff like Zoom membership or something.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's like, you know, I want to be able to do stuff. I don't necessarily need things. That kind of general thing. But give them some kind of guidelines to work with, some kind of place to start is always appreciated. This next question is from Beckett. What's the etiquette on gifts for your significant other's parents, particularly if you are on a fairly tight budget and they are not?
So the thing about this is when there's like discrepancies as far as budget goes, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get something that's very thoughtful and heartfelt. And I think that, you know,
framed picture is always a great way to go.
That is something, you know, of an experience that all of you share together, right? You know, you went on that really great trip to the lake and you took a great picture and you wanted to have it framed. Great. That's a really heartfelt thing that doesn't cost a ton of money. Especially homemade gifts.
Like baking treats for them or stuff like that is always good.
You don't have to spend a ton as long as you think of something, you know, really nice for them.
I will also say, and I do understand the pressure, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they are not these people, though I do acknowledge that these people probably do exist. But I would say the good chance is that the people you're giving presents to aren't looking at it like the Price is Right and thinking like, okay, well, that's $20 from them and I spent $80, so I lose. Like, I don't think that's happening. A lot of the pressure...
I hope it's not happening. Yeah.
And if so, hey, who cares about getting presents for those jerks? No, I do think that a lot of the stuff that we feel worried about during the holidays, especially in regards to like gift giving, is all self-imposed.
I agree.
This
Absolutely.
Feeling of guilt or expectation that we put on ourselves of like, are we doing enough? And I fall into it too. Like Teresa has to talk me down a lot when I feel like, oh, I'm not getting enough for these people. And it's like, that's not what this is. This isn't about like, well, I got them 4 presents and I only got them 3. Oh, they're going to be so mad. Like, that's not how that works.
Right. And one of the things that I try and expound on every year is the idea of a gift. Excuse me. So when you give someone a gift, it's not something that a person deserves. Right? Because that's more like a paycheck mm-hmm. for services rendered. What you have to really try and internalize is the giving of the gift is something extra on top of your wonderful relationship mm-hmm. that you have. And so when I receive a gift, I feel overflowed, right? That's the happiness that happens. Not the gift that, you know,
of the gift, not the gift itself.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
This is what that when people say it's the thought that counts, right?
That's what they mean.
It means you thought of me and that's what matters, not what the gift is. You know what I mean? A lot of people use it in the joking way of like, well, you tried. But it's more of like, hey, you thought of me and got me something at all. And that's what matters to me. This question is from Kathleen. Just how rude is it to excuse yourself from a family dinner if you just can't take it anymore? More or less rude if you get in your car and go home?
If you find that you must get in your car and go home, give an excuse. Say you don't feel well.
Yeah.
And not feeling mentally well is...
Not feeling well.
Is not feeling well.
There you go.
So there's no need to explain that you're not physically ill. But getting up from the table completely silently and leaving will probably, you know, make more problems than it solves.
Yeah.
So some kind of excuse of you're not feeling well usually does the trick.
Yeah. And this is, it's not just rude or not rude. Like, would your, you know, whatever the other guests are, family, friends, whatever, would they prefer you stayed? Probably. Right. But like, that doesn't mean you can't excuse yourself if you need to. So I don't think it comes down to rude or not so much as it's like, if you need to, you should.
You know what? This is something that I haven't done in a while, mostly because I haven't been to many parties. But when I was younger, let's say college years, something that used to happen to me a lot is I would get overwhelmed at parties.
Yeah, me too.
And I would usually, you know, be comfortable enough with the host of the party to say, can I go lay down in your bedroom for 20 minutes? And, you know, usually that would do the trick. Mm-hmm. So I could excuse myself, say I'm tired or I don't feel well. Or even if, like, it's not a sit down dinner where anyone would notice where I was gone, I would just ask to go lay down for a few minutes. And sometimes that's all you need.
This question is from Tice, or maybe Doug. I don't know. I'm trying to determine based on their username / handle. It doesn't matter. This question is from, I bet, a very cool person. I've always been really bad at expressing enthusiasm. What's a way that I can make sure my friends and family know that I appreciate the gifts they have given me without sounding fake? And let me say, cool person, you and I are in the same boat. This is another thing. To go back to what we were talking about earlier, when I was a kid, what I was really bad about is, like, I would ask specifically for a present or put a present on a list, and I'd get it, and I would sit there thinking, like, oh, yeah, I asked, thank you for this thing.
Why,
that I
yes,
asked for.
Of course, mother and father.
Check mark, yes, great, right? And there wasn't a lot of surprise. So in a lot of home movies, gosh, little Travis is overacting his butt off. I was like, ah, wow, because I was trying really hard to convey enthusiasm in a way that was so insincere. I think the key, what I have learned is replace in your head the idea of enthusiasm with sincerity, right? Of like, it's much better to give a sincere thanks rather than trying to show how excited you are about the gift. Because, like, that's the thing, especially now as an adult, I get things all the time that are very cool, but it would be very weird if I was like, a new wallet! Wow! Right? Like, that's a weird thing. But instead of saying, like, oh, awesome, I really needed one of these. Thank you so much. This is great.
One of the other things that you can physically do, because I am really good, I'm really into, like, the physical manifestation. Even when I was an actor, I was a very outside physical makes the inside feel. Is when you get your gift, really look at it, inspect it, try and open it. You know, if it's a smelly thing, smell it. If it's a,
yeah.
Like, if it's a toy, take it out of the package. Like,
experience it.
Experience it and let the other person watch and enjoy you enjoying your gift.
Right.
So that's something, so like, you know, put those earrings on or whatever so that they can see that you enjoy it.
Right. And you know what? If in the moment you're kind of taking it in, it never hurts to, like, later say, like, hey, I just wanted to say thank you again for this. This is great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that I think that will go a long way. This is from Foster. If you and a friend celebrate different holidays this season, should you give them a gift related to the holiday you celebrate or the one they celebrate, assuming theirs involves gift giving?
I thought about this for a while, and I think that you should give someone a gift in relation to the holiday that you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is your celebration, and I wouldn't expect anyone to give me a Christmas gift who didn't celebrate Christmas. It would probably, I it would make me feel awkward about it.
I don't
want
to make them celebrate my thing.
Right, exactly. So you can give a gift and celebrate that person in the way that you are accustomed to celebrating. So do it on your terms, and it will definitely be appreciated.
The one kind of caveat I would give to this, and I'm assuming because Foster asked this question that this is not an element at play here, but if you, like, are doing kind of a, for lack of a better term, like, cultural exchange holiday thing of, like, I'd love to learn more about you and you learn more about mine and that kind of thing, then yes, that would be a much different situation than just, right, like, I got you a Christmas present. Like, yeah, totally. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that would be the way to go. I don't know. I completely agree with you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. This is from Shark Witchy. The holidays are a time for hugs from extended family, but I'm very uncomfortable with touch, and I barely let my mom hug me. How do I deal with this? Is there a polite way to say I don't want a hug?
I think what you... I would suggest that you find some sort of physical signal to replace hug. Because, yeah, people want to greet you, or they even... Maybe they want to say goodbye, even. So, like... Who's the guy that always does the fist bump?
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel.
Right.
That's like his thing, right? He doesn't hug. He does the fist bump. There's high five. There's handshake. Right. There's even, I don't know, maybe you'll find a special wave or something. Something physical so you can let the other person know you acknowledge them.
Yeah. And I think also to that same point, especially if you know that your extended family is inclined towards hugs, you got to take lead on it. Like, you, yeah, if you're going for the handshake instead of the hug, right, you have to walk for, you know, you have to greet them with your hand out, right? And I would also say this. So I was thinking about this, and we talk a lot about on this show when it comes to, like, what, how much do I tell other people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much do you want to invest? How important is this to you? And I would say, if this is family and you know you're going to see them multiple times, what you're really asking about is, do I want one upfront awkward moment or lots of little awkward moments forever from now?
Mm.
And I would say, if this is your family, like aunts, uncle, whatever, I think you should say, hey, yeah, I'm not really a big hugger, but I'm so excited to see you, right? And, like, it's gonna be weird for,
right,
a second.
For a second, but that will save the weirdness for later.
Right, and now they know. And you know what? I will also tell you, I have had friends and people who have said to me when I go for a hug, like, I don't really hug. And in that moment, yes, I feel like, oh no, I've done something wrong and I've upset this person.
But you haven't.
But then, in the future, when I see them, like, I have seen friends that I've been with and they run into people and that person, like, will get a hug. And in my head, I'm like, oh, they don't like hug. Like, you know, that thing where, like, I know this about this person. It has allowed me to better interact with them in a way that makes them more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And people like making other people more comfortable. So I think in the long run, saying it, ripping that Band-Aid off is the way to go. This question is, let's see, this is from Ken. Who am I obligated to buy gifts for in terms of extended family at Christmas? Grandparents would make sense, but cousins, aunts,
okay,
uncles?
Okay.
I can name other family members. Hold on, no, go on. Nieces? Okay. Nephews? Yes, the nieces and nephews.
Okay.
Travis let's says yes.
Unpack this question, first of all. The word that I want to focus on is obligated.
Yeah, I knew that would stick in your craw.
Because I believe that you should not feel obligated to give anyone presents. If you feel obligated to give someone a present, is it really a present? I don't know. I don't know.
Is it? Is it a present? We'll have to go to science on this one. Science?
Science?
Science says no.
Oh.
I checked with science.
Where is science?
To my left.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. That's the printer. Go on.
So my short question is, you should give presents to whoever you want to give presents to. My long answer is, if you anticipate a gift exchange.
Mm-hmm. That you might get, like, surprise.
That you might receive something from someone else. You may find it is easier for you to be prepared if you have gifts for them as well. Now, this has happened where I've visited different families on Christmas or in the holiday season. And what happens is I may have given a gift or brought like a host gift or something. And maybe they didn't know I was coming or didn't anticipate the exchange at this moment. And so I didn't get anything. But you know who doesn't feel weird about it? Me. I don't feel weird about it because mm-hmm. I understand what gifts are. So if you have a large gathering and you're not sure about getting everybody gifts, maybe combine families. So instead of getting a gift for your aunt and her significant other and their children, maybe get a family gift for them.
Yes. Also, and I think we've talked about this before, if you're in this situation where like, ooh, but I don't know if they're planning to mean something, mm-hmm. or, like, I've been in that situation before, things like gift cards, you know, it's easy to have a gift card in an envelope in your pocket, in your bag, whatever. And then if you don't give them out, now you've got some gift cards to use, or like bottles of wine, if assuming the person drinks wine, or, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Stuff that's like maybe not necessarily super personalized.
Yeah.
But stuff that like, oh, thank you so much, and I got you that you
again
have
baked goods are a really good thing.
Correct.
Yes. Like I said though, that advice is if you anticipate a gift exchange. Mm-hmm. Please spread the word, spread the gospel of what a gift actually is.
There shouldn't be a gift economy.
Right.
There shouldn't be the like, I give you this in exchange for this. Like, I think we talked about this when we did our favors episode.
Yeah.
Which is like, you shouldn't do someone a favor expecting something in return, or at that point, it's not really a favor. You know, it's an exchange.
But you should receive a favor and try to give them a favor, right, too. You know, that's the thing. So both things are correct.
But I would also say one last tip. If you're feeling like, ooh, I don't know that I'm going to get a gift for this person, but I want them to feel included, cards are always nice. You can send a holiday card, or like, I don't know, if you want to do photos or that kind of thing. But you can always just like get a card and say, thinking of you, happy holidays, and send it to them. Boom. You've made them feel cared about. Okay, we're going to take a quick break to say a thank you note to some sponsors, and then we'll be back with more of your questions. Week we're sponsored in part by Squarespace. I know, listen folks, I've talked about Squarespace till I was blue in the face. I know, but it's great. I love it. It's easy to use. I'm like staring at Teresa, and I don't know why. Have I told you, Teresa, specifically about Squarespace?
You certainly have. You've told me all about Buttercup is a very good girl.com, which Correct. You made on Squarespace.
I did. And I was just thinking maybe you could like start a Squarespace page to like tell people like gifts are not an economy and that kind of thing. I don't know. But if you want to, you could use Squarespace to turn your cool idea into a new website, showcase your work, announce an upcoming event or special project. And basically whatever you could use a website for, you could do it with Squarespace because they have beautiful customizable templates. They have powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell things online. They have built-in search engine optimization, analytics to help you grow in real time, and 24/7 award-winning customer support. It's amazing. Squarespace is great. So make it stand out with a beautiful website from Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com/schmanners for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code schmanners to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/schmanners.
And if you need a template for your beautiful, beautiful website on Squarespace, please go to buttercupisareallygoodgirl.com.
Buttercup is a very good girl. I'm sorry. Buttercup is a really good girl. Takes you to the dark web. And I don't want people to do that. It's scary down there.
Very good girl.
Buttercup is a very good girl.com.
We need to make one for Lily.
Well, my older brother stole the domain. Lily is a very good girl.com. but I'll work on getting that back from him. Right now, it redirects, I believe, to his Twitter page.
Schmanners is supported in part this week by Zola. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free planning websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. They have over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from that fit any style. And the Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. So there's something for every guest to give. Here is the thing that I really liked about Zola is it's a one-stop shop. So you have your registry, you have your info, you can order gifts and invitations. Like all of that stuff that you could spend days tracking down other places is available right at your fingertips. And speaking of their gift-giving website, registry thing, they have one of those split-the-gift options. So if you want to contribute towards a larger gift, you are welcome to do that with many other guests, and you don't have to orchestrate it yourself because they will take all of the planning on that end. So to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/schmanners.
Welcome back to WKEP at Night. Up next, looks like we've got a PSA from local forest ranger Duck Newton.
Do I start now or?
Yeah, and lean in, Duck.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I wanted to address the unfortunate situation that... Okay, listen, two people, good people that I and a lot of y'all have known our whole lives are dead, torn to shreds by...
A savage, bloodthirsty beast that defies human comprehension. If you'd like to know more, stop by the Cryptonomica, Kepler's premier museum of the macabre, just off Highway...
Come on, we just wanted to warn y'all, to beg you, if you see one of those things out in the forest, don't fight, don't scream, run. Run as far as you can.
Doc, it's almost midnight. Listen, folks, if you see anything, please go to thelamplighter.org and let us know. And get behind a locked door tonight.
Anything else we need to... Oh, they're leaving. Okay, well, that's thelamplighter.org, and stay safe out there, Kepler.
Hello, Maximum Fun. I am Oliver Wong, scholar, journalist, DJ, etc.
And I'm Morgan Rold. I'm a music supervisor who loves stilettos. We host Heat Rocks, a music podcast where we talk to influential artists and scholars about the albums that changed their lives. On our most recent episode, we had the chance to talk with none other than R&B legend Macy Gray about one of her favorite albums, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Yeezy.
We get deep talking about everything from Kanye's college dropout days all the way up to his most recent shenanigans.
I just think it's weak, and I don't think he has to do that, and I was just disappointed.
So make sure you, dear listener, are subscribed, because you definitely do not want to miss this conversation.
Heat Rocks every Thursday right here on Maximum Fun.
Okay, this next one is from Tanner. Here's one that's come up amongst my friends recently. If you give someone a wrapped gift before Christmas and know that you won't see them Christmas Day, should they unwrap it right then or save it for under the tree?
Okay. My inclination is to say unwrap it right then, because then I can say thank you in person, which I think is always a lot. I mean, it's a lot easier for me. I don't have to write a thank you note, because if you open it outside of their presence under the tree when they aren't there, then you should write a thank you note.
Yeah, I also think this depends on what the friend says. You know, like if they hand it to you, I think it's always fine to say, do you want me to open it now or wait? You know, like that's usually what I say if someone hands me a present of like, do you want me? And the answer is almost always, yeah, go ahead. You know, because they want to see you open and experience it.
Because that's the good part.
Right. The one exception to this, I would say, because what you're asking, Tanner, is if somebody hands it to you, is if you get mailed presents, like we get presents from like out of town relatives, I would say those go under the tree. You
right.
know what I mean?
Well, and that my theory still holds.
Yes.
Because they are not delivering that gift in person.
This question is from, I'm going to say Tara. because their username is terrible, but spelled with T-A-R-A. So I'm going to say Tara, and it's a fun play on words. If you don't like a gift, what's the best way to make sure they don't get you something similar again without being rude by saying you don't like it? This is a tough one in general, because like the idea, even I always feel bad, like if somebody gets me like clothes that don't fit and I have to say like, oh, it doesn't fit or something like that.
Right.
Like, I always feel bad. You know, people will sometimes include a gift receipt or something. And even then I feel bad. I just feel bad.
Well, you know, this is something that I find happens at a certain age, where when you were younger, maybe you collected something. You collected, I don't know, porcelain cat figurines. And so people knew that that was something that you would appreciate to add to your collection. But there comes a time when you kind of grow out of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where I don't need any more porcelain cat figurines. In fact, I can't display all the ones I have. And so please don't get me anymore.
Yeah, but I think that's actually not a bad thing to say, not in that moment.
Okay, yes.
I think, you know, you open the present in December, oh, great. And then the following November, I think it's okay to kind of send out like a thank you for all of the great cats in the past or whatever. But this year I have to ask, you know, I'm running out of room. So let's focus more on blah, 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 right? And that, because that way it doesn't necessarily make it seem 100% targeted at this person.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is targeted, if you say, hey, Aunt Debbie, you know, that sweater last year was great. I just wanted to give you a heads up. I am full up on sweaters this year. But what I would love is something like this.
Yes, I think that is the next step. The next step is to offer suggestions of things that you would enjoy.
Yeah.
Instead of another porcelain cat figurine, might I have some colorful boxes to put all these figurines in?
And then throw them away. And this is a thing of like, even a like competitive The Hunt gift giver like myself, it's still more important that the person enjoys it. Like, I would rather get someone an incredibly obvious present that they asked for right off their list that they love and really need than a super creative present that they don't care about. Right. So I think when it comes down to it, like saying, and I would love something like this, or I would, oh, this year, this would be great. That kind of thing. And you know what? Here's another, oh, I'm going to give away a big secret here. One of the, well, there are many wonderful things about having a partner. But this could work with your significant other or a relative or whatever.
All right. Get to it. What is it?
And that
I need
is,
these secrets.
That is to have them act as your go-between and say, like, I might say to Teresa, like, that gift that Aunt Debbie got me, this is what I wanted to get me this year. And then Teresa would text them and say, have you got anything for Travis yet? He has been talking about blah, 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 blah. Would you want to get that for him? Right? So that way, it doesn't seem like it's coming from me, so I don't have to feel bad saying, hey, get me this thing. But I do still end up getting the thing I want from the person.
Do you think that I could tell your whole family not to give you any more toys?
I don't think you could do that. No. I don't think you could stop my dad from getting me toys. Maybe if you, like, locked his door and, like, boarded it up. But even then he has Amazon.
I know.
This question is from Violetta. Someone specifically asked that I not get them anything for the holiday, but I already had bought something by the time they told me. Am I still good to give it?
If you find that you can't possibly save this present for another time and you must give it to them, you know, sometimes this happens when you live far apart, where you order a present maybe that's being delivered to their home and you've ordered it before they tell you, I don't want anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as long as you, I think an explanation is okay, saying, Well, I found you something already that's already en route.
Yeah.
So please enjoy and...
Don't feel obligated to get me anything in return.
Yeah, don't feel obligated to get me anything. I saw this and thought of you, and it's yours.
I also think that this is another thing we talk about a lot. There's a difference between, oh, you don't have to get me. Oh, don't get me anything. And, like, I do not want to exchange presents this year. I can't, you know, I'm in a place financially where I won't be able to, and it would make me uncomfortable if you got me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The two different things. And so... I would say if this person has like sincerely, legitimately asked not to exchange presents, don't give them anything.
Yeah, save it for another time.
I mean, that said, also, you are the best judge of the relationship. And I think if you can honestly say to the person, like, I know you said not to get you anything, but like, I'd already ordered this customized, personalized shirt for you. So like, I'm sorry I got you a present. this question is from Hannah. I have some friends coming over for Christmas and I've never hosted before. What do we do if we annoy each other or get bored? For context, this is also my first winter Christmas. So back home, if we annoy each other, we just go outside for a swim or sunbathe.
Oh, that would be fun, right?
No, what?
What?
That's not Christmas.
Hey, well, okay. it's not the Christmas that you have experienced.
It is not my Christmas. I'm sure. Okay, let me put it this way. I'm sure it is fun, but also what's important here is I'm not a big swimmer in general, so it's not like I'm judging other people. You know what, Teresa, you're right. What I should say is I don't know that I would enjoy that experience as much as, say, taking a nap, but that's okay.
Okay. So I think that it's a lot easier to disperse yourselves after any kind of gift exchange,
mm-hmm.
because then people have the things that they got as gifts to kind of like play around with. But like,
I love hosting. Can I give some tips?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Here's some hosting tips. One, have separate areas, right? So you might have a drink station over here and have like the snack station over here and have like a TV showing a holiday movie over here. And so that way you give people kind of almost subconsciously places to move to if they find themselves annoyed by somebody else or feeling antsy and something to do, right? Like, I'm going to go get a drink. Oh, and now I'm moving in with your snacks. And it gives a natural flow to the party. Two, there are lots of really great, I want to say party games, but that makes it sound like, you know, beer pong or whatever. But I mean, like, board games, box games that you can buy. There's one called Roll For It that is super straightforward. All you do is you flip cards and the cards show different combinations of dice and each person takes turns rolling dice trying to get that combination to collect the card. It's a really great party game because you don't need to like strategize or focus until it's your turn. So it's kind of a good like split off the part of your brain that would get bored while you can sit there and talk with each other. Something like that works. Plan event. There's party crackers. You get those crackers. That's, oh, let's all do the crackers, right? Having stuff to do breaks up that kind of thing. Also, take naps. Naps are great.
And just because it's cold weather doesn't mean you can't go outside. You know, you just have to be prepared for it. Nothing's better after like a big heavy meal than putting on your winter coat and going for a walk, things mm-hmm. like that.
Take a thermos full of mulled wine, perhaps, if you want. Well, so be it.
So you can still go outside. You can also... So there are some activities that don't even require cooperation, like puzzles. That's one of the things that, as children, my sisters and I used to do, and we didn't have to talk to each other
mm-hmm.
in order to do the puzzle.
And listen, if all else fails, Muppet's Christmas Carol...
Everybody loves it.
Go to. It's got good songs. I would say it's my favorite Muppet movie.
I would too. Mine too.
One last question here. This is from Jeeves. I'm cooking Christmas dinner for my household. Is it schmannerly to invite folks to start eating after I put the food on the table, but still have a few things to do in the kitchen before I join them? Or should I join them as immediately as possible and tidy up later?
I would say the second one. Have fun with whoever you're hosting. And maybe when everyone's done, they'll help you in the kitchen. So,
yeah,
like, you know, few things can wait. The dishes will still be there after dinner. And so, you know, enjoy yourself and hang with your friends.
And like I said, I love hosting, and I'm going to be cooking for Christmas Eve, morning, and day. And part of the joy of cooking for people is watching them get to enjoy it, you know, being right there. And so don't rob yourself of that because the plates are dirty. You know what I mean? Like, let yourself have the moment of like, ah, this is what I have provided for my friends. And if this is a concern, I would also say I was inspired by my friend Kelly during Thanksgiving of like, Kelly, if there is a free moment between moving a dish to the oven, waiting for, you know, she is washing things as she goes. So that the idea being that by the time you're done, you've kind of like coincided the finishing of the meal with cleaning at the same time.
Right. Okay. I was confused for a second because I was like, that's the exact opposite advice as I just gave. But you were talking about cleaning while preparing.
Yes. So like, okay, well, I've got some downtime while this simmers, this bakes, and, you know, this boils. I've got 5 minutes. Okay, I can go ahead and start soaking the plates in the sink now.
That right. Kind of thing. Okay.
So that's going to do it for us. First and foremost, hey, before I let go, not first and foremost, because this is the end of the
this
show.
This is the end.
But I want to say this is maybe the most important piece of advice we'll give on this whole episode, and that is to be safe during the holiday season. One, don't drink and drive. But two, know that other people are not as smart as you and maybe not as careful, and they might drink and drive. So be careful out there because you are important, and you being there and being here and being with us is the best gift that you can give anyone this holiday season. So please be careful out there. And you know what? Do your best also not only to be physically careful of your health, but mentally health. You know, if you need to take a break, if you need to step away from a conversation, if you need to call someone, call a hotline, call a friend, whatever, and talk to somebody, do it. Because you are important both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of these
all
things.
Of those things. All go, the above is go, important.
Go check out all the other amazing shows on MaximumFun.org. They are all incredible. I'm big fans of them, and I think you might be too. If you want to see all the other McElroy projects, you can go to McElroy.family. It's a hub website for all of that stuff. And hey, if I might make a couple gift recommendations, I don't think it's too late. See if you can find a copy of the Sawbones book on Amazon or maybe Barnes & Noble or who knows in your local bookstore. If you have people in your life that like comedy and like weird medical history or just like good books, you should get them that or both. Get the graphic novel version of The Adventure Zone. Book one is out now, and you can pre-order book two, Murder on the Rockport Limited, coming this summer. Go to theadventurezonecomic.com, and you can pick that up there. And if you want to pick up some merch items, you can go to macroymerch.com. There's some fun Schmanner stuff on there and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Cute little lapel pins. Really,
oh, they're
like
so
them.
Cute. Teresa, what else do we normally say here?
We always thank Brent Brentalfloss Black for our theme music, which is available as a ringtone where those are found. We also like to thank Kayla M. Wassel for our Twitter thumbnail art and Keely Weiss photography. I kind of conflated the two there earlier. For our Facebook cover banner. And we have a Facebook group, which is totally fan run, called Schmanners Fanners. You can join them to, you know, give some good advice. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Schmannerscast. And please do continue sending in suggestions. We have some really great ones on the horizon. You can send those to schmannerscast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Did it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. So join us again next week.
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners Schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.